Welcome back to the Make the Notice podcast, episode 8. We are in Seattle hanging out at the Westie's office with the infamous Austin Davis. He's back in town, former Seattle quarterback, and I've really got to know Austin the last year or so. He's an awesome guy, loves football, loves golf, so we kind of speak the same language. And he's back in Seattle. We want to talk football, talk about the Seahawks game yesterday, talk about the NFL. And Austin, welcome, first time on the show.
Thanks for having me, man. Been a long time coming. We've been talking about it.
First time, long time?
Yep.
So the Seahawks win yesterday. They moved to 4-3, first time over 500. This season. It was a pretty convincing win. We watched the game together, had a good time here at the office. What went right for you and in your eyes yesterday? What went right for the Seahawks to get that win?
I think they've been kind of building some momentum over the last couple weeks. Looked really good against the Raiders in London. It's kind of the same formula. It's the run game, run action, and then the turnovers on defense. And that's something that he's always preached. You got to run the ball, you got to create turnovers. And that's kind of the winning formula for the Seahawks. It's been that way for a long time. And when they don't get those couple things going, it becomes really hard. Mm-hmm. But the run game looks really good. Something that I spoke to last year, felt like we were right there. We just weren't able to run it. And for whatever reason, but I think that was a focus this offseason. Coaching staff, players, it seems like, you know, obviously the first round pick and Rashad, everything went towards let's get the run game going, and they've been able to do that, and everything kind of feeds off of that. So I think the last 2 weeks, especially yesterday, looked really good, and they did what they wanted to do.
How, you know, in today's world of high-tech offenses and schemes, and just from the eye watching the Seahawks, it's pretty simple formula they got going. Is that interesting to you, just from the fact of, like, hey, Seahawks are kind of throwing it back a little bit and they're winning that way?
Yeah, it is kind of interesting because a lot was made of the RPOs last year with Philadelphia doing some good things, and a lot of things come through offensive football, as far as I would call them trendy or the flavor of the month, what's working now. And you see other offenses kind of copy and try to do those things, but there are some fundamental things that are always there. Mm-hmm. It's still a physical game. You still have to run the ball. And getting back to those fundamentals is so important. So you're right. It's kind of an old school approach, if you will. They're not spreading it out. They're not slinging it around. They're not throwing for a ton of yards. But it's a winning formula, and that's their job, to win games.
And does it, you know, as the year goes on, I think it is a factor, especially in certain cities, the weather changes. How is it important to run the football, or is that just kind of a thing that you can't pass?
And yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you think about late in the season when you're trying to make a playoff run, or if you're on the road in a playoff game in January, you know, what if you're on the road, stadium? Yeah, what if you're in Kansas City, you know? It can be difficult. Throwing the football can be very difficult. So, you know, that's where your quarterback's arm strength comes in. Mm-hmm. He can kind of whip it through the wind. And then obviously you can fall back on the run game. But everyone says that. Everyone, if you went around the NFL, if you went and sat in all the offensive install meetings, if you went to the first day of training camp, I would bet you every single offensive coordinator is going to stand up there and say, we're going to be a physical football team. We're going to run the football. Mm-hmm. So it's not a secret. It's getting it done. It mm-hmm. literally is getting the job done. And that's, to me, the difference in the Seahawks the last couple of weeks. That's what they're doing. They're getting it done. They're not just talking about it.
And speaking of running the football, you spent time with both Chris Carson and Mike Davis with the Seahawks. What makes those two guys just dynamic and the success they've had so far this year?
I'll start with Chris. He's just a physical specimen.
Yeah.
Just to see his work ethic, really, you following on social media and then being around him and just seeing his body and what he was able to do last year when he was out. And before he got hurt, you could kind of see that physical talent coming out and say, all right, this guy's pretty dang good. You know, he's special. Obviously he got hurt. That was a tough loss for us. But his commitment to coming back and just what he's been able to do, I think the future is really bright for Chris. And then Mike's an interesting story because he was kind of, you know, in and out and not always active on game day. But it's like, man, that guy's got some moves. He can play. You know, you didn't really know where the coaching staff stood on Mike. If I'm honest, you're just kind of like, what's his deal kind of thing? But he's really good, so maybe he should play a little more. And he did.
He
started playing more, and they gave him an opportunity for whatever reason. They felt like it was necessary, and he's made the most of it. If you notice, he does his little sleeping on him dance in the end zone.
Yeah,
I think that's kind of a tribute to kind of his career and how it's gone, and maybe he feels like he deserves a little more respect.
I love that.
Kind of sleeping on him.
He is sleeping on him.
I think that's motivating Mike, and I think he's had a great year. I think he's a really good running back, and I think his future is bright as well.
Yeah, it's crazy to think. I want to say the first game he was inactive. He didn't even play, and then seeing where they are things with him now. And then what do you think has just changed from that, the 0-2 start to, you know, where they are now at 4-3? Do you think it's just coaching and getting just stuff on tape and making adjustments?
You got a new offensive coordinator. New defensive coordinator. You know, Ken's been around, but he's coming back into the fold. So there's a lot of newness there. Brian's working with Russ for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Coach Solari's new offensive line coach, getting familiar with everything. And everything's great in the preseason and training camp, but until you see these guys play in real games, there is a learning curve there. So I think that's probably what you're seeing from the first couple weeks to now, is the coaches are getting familiar with the players are getting familiar with the coaches, and things kind of start to gel a little bit. And as long as you don't get too far behind early in the season, record-wise, you can kind of make up for that newness of everything. And I think that's where the Seahawks are. They look pretty good. You know, I think there was a lot of question marks this year. There's no secret there.
Right.
A lot of big moves. And it's been a fun year to watch, just to kind of keep up. These last couple of weeks, I've been able to watch a little bit more. So I think they're in a good place. I think Seattle fans should be really pleased with where they're at, because they're going up. You know, that's what you really want. You want to build and you want to move forward, and you want to play good in November and December, because that's when you get it done.
And you've been on, you know, so many different teams over your just football career, starting from, you know, high school, whatever. But when do you really know that, like, a team is, hey, this team, like, we're actually, this is for real. Like, it's not just.
Yeah, I think in the NFL, there's so much can change. It's such a long season, a 16-game season. Even, you know, if you count the preseason games, you're talking about playing 20 games. You know, last year we tore the preseason up. You'd have thought we were going to win the Super Bowl. And that's always a, you know, not really an indication of what your football team's going to be. But I think mid-November, because you've got to deal with injuries, you've got to deal with a lot of different things. And the NFL has done a really good job of just continuity and, you know, how close these teams are and how one or two plays can make a difference in winning. I mean, if you look at the standings right now of how many teams are at that 4-3 or 3-4, just kind of that middle of the pack, it's pretty remarkable.
Yeah.
You know, so you can't really get overexcited or two down until, you know, late November, December, kind of see where you're at. And chances are, even then, you still got to, you know, there's a way in and there's a way out. So it's literally just that long grind. And can you stay with it for that long and stay consistent in your preparation no matter what? And I think that's what Russ and Pete have been really good at.
And you've been, you know, around with different NFL teams and have spoken super highly of Pete and just how different he's been coaching wise for you. What makes him so different than versus other coaches that you've spent time under?
I think just his positive culture. I think that's the head coach's job, is to create a winning culture and an environment for guys to be their best. That to me was the difference. When I signed with Seattle, you know, I had never, I don't think I'd been on a winning team. I'd never been to the playoffs.
Yeah.
But I'd never been on a winning team. So I was really excited. Ignorantly, I thought it was going to be easy. I was like, I'm going to go play. They hadn't missed the playoffs in whatever, 5-6 years. I was like, great. This will be fun. You know, I'll get to go and be a part of a good team. But then I got to see the formula behind it. Just the energy every single day, no matter what happens, no matter win, lose, good day, bad day. There was just this constant approach to getting better and growing, and he individualizes it. And that's what meant something to me. It was more than just, you kind of felt like it was more than just being good for the Seahawks. It was you as a person being the best that you can be on and off the field. And that's kind of empowering because you're around that every day. And before you know it, that those things start to happen in your life and you start to kind of get things in line. And next thing you know, you are a little bit better football player. Well, all those little things for each and every guy on the roster adds up to maybe that margin of victory. As I spoke to earlier, how close the NFL is. Well, maybe all those little improvements in each person's life, you know, taking care of everything, maybe that amounts to a few more wins a year, and that amounts to getting in the playoffs, and little things lead to the big things. So
now, for those of you that don't know, Austin Davis, you come from real small town, Mississippi, and have since, you know, made it under the bright lights of the NFL. Could you talk about, you know, your story a little bit and how, you know, was playing in the NFL something you always dreamed about? And then looking back and seeing, you know, where you are now versus, you know, just that small town kid in Mississippi.
Yeah, I don't remember specifically dreaming about the NFL. In fact, I think the dream was to play in the SEC. Growing up in Mississippi, college football is such a big deal. We didn't really have a local NFL team, so a lot of people in my hometown root for the Saints. Me personally, I actually started rooting for the Buccaneers just because I like their uniforms.
The creamsicles?
The red and the silver, you know, the cool logo and the ship in the end zone. And, you know, and they were better. The Saints were not very good at that time. So that's, you know, so growing up for me, that was really the dream, was to play in the SEC. And I really was probably more of a baseball player.
That's right. Boston Red Sox.
When I was younger. Yeah, there you go. And then I just kind of fell in love with playing quarterback. I don't really know. It was in high school, really. I remember my high school coach, after my freshman year, I didn't start. He came in leading into my sophomore year, and the quarterback ahead of me was only 1 year ahead of me. He's a really good athlete, and he decided to make a change, and he felt like he could help us at safety and that I could play quarterback, and that'd be a good move for the team overall. And I remember I was in a computer class, and that was my 10th grade year, and I was super excited, you know, and I felt like that was he showed a lot of confidence in me with my teammate's name was Michael Pogue, moving Michael to safety. And I felt like, I was like, all right, that's pretty cool. So, you know, one thing led to another. I didn't really get recruited. We didn't really throw the ball a ton, probably 8 to 10 times a game. And they were wide open because we were running the wing tee.
Okay.
You know, and I started going to camps and stuff. And I kind of realized, I was like, well, you know, these guys aren't that much better than me. You know, guys that were getting a lot of attention and, you know, there's a funny story, actually. I went to Camp Mississippi State, and there was this big tall quarterback. I don't remember his name, but he's getting recruited by Michigan, and he couldn't throw at all. This guy, like, couldn't move, couldn't throw, but like, it was just like the coaches and like everyone was like swarming around this guy. And I remember just that day and being like, man, this guy can't play. And it kind of motivated me a little bit to go, like, this whole world of football, because I kind of was a baseball family and my brother played baseball. And it was kind of an unknown. I was like, shoot, I can do this. So I think that kind of motivated me and kind of showed me that, you know, I think I can play. And then I just started doing everything I could to get recognition. I actually sent out my own highlight tapes.
Oh,
I did
wow.
it myself. I actually have, like, the piece of paper where I wrote down, like, my information, like 6'2", you know, I fudged on a little bit, 6'2", you know, 6'2", probably put 6'2½, I can't remember, but I was hyping myself, you know, and I started stretching every night. I remember that, before bed, trying to get a little bit faster, trying to get my 40 time down. So, I just fell in love with it, honestly. And ended up walking on at Southern Miss and getting an opportunity, and that's a whole different story. Everything just kind of fell together.
Just kept coming together.
You know, I can't really describe all the things. A lot happened, A lot of good breaks. I always say hard work and a little bit of luck.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And then being undrafted in the NFL, same thing, just being in the right place and having a decent preseason my first year and then getting tossed in my third year and surviving. And it's been a journey. I guess that's why they call it journeyman backup QB. It's, but I wouldn't trade it for anything, honestly. Yeah. I haven't quite reached where I want to yet, but I'm not giving up just yet.
And what advice would you have for that small town kid who's, you know, maybe getting overlooked or just not, you know, not chances that maybe they think they should get? What advice do you have for those kids?
Yeah, I think that was probably the reason that I was able to make it to the NFL, because I felt like I had to work so hard just to get noticed. Mm-hmm. Just to get an opportunity, just to get a foot in the door, just to get a call, just to go to Southern, just to walk on at Southern Miss. I remember being in a movie theater in my hometown, being like, man, I wish I could just be on the team. You know, so it creates that longing and that fire in you that you're going to have when things do get hard, when it's not easy, and, you know, the workouts and the 6 a.m. runs in college and the NFL when you've been cut 5, 6, 7 times. I don't even know anymore. It doesn't. I'm losing count.
No one's counting.
So I am. So you need that. You need that fuel. And I think it's served me well over the years.
And, you know, over the years, you've spent time with, you know, a bunch of different quarterbacks. Who are some of the top just quarterbacks that you've enjoyed spending time around and learning from?
I think I have to say Russ, right?
I guess, yeah, probably.
I'd probably have to say Russ.
But that's kind of a given.
That's a given. Russ has been was special to work with. Just his focus, his skill level. First of all, he's one of the elites. His focus, his work ethic, his commitment, all those things were really, really fun to be around. And then, you know, we became pretty good friends as well. So that's kind of how it works. You end up. It's a job, so you end up being, at least for me and my experiences, you end up being friends with the guys that are in your room. Mm-hmm. So it's important to have a good quarterback room of guys that can work together and get along. And so it was a good year, and probably my favorite year.
Really?
Last year was probably my favorite year
in
the NFL.
Year seven? That was year seven? Or year
that
six?
That was year six.
Year six, okay.
Yeah. Overall, just the whole experience. The culture, working with Russ, working with an elite quarterback, I needed it. Mm-hmm. I just come from Cleveland and Denver and just kind of getting kicked around, and I wasn't enjoying it very much. And then last year really kind of rejuvenated my spirits a little bit.
Okay. So speaking with the, you know, Seahawks, as you mentioned, everyone should feel confident, you know, that they are trending upward. What do you think this team's got to do to make the playoffs?
I think they're gonna have to win some close games.
Yeah,
to win the big game. I think they're not gonna, and I could be wrong, but I don't think they're gonna dominate like maybe this team has in the past.
Right. That's its whole special thing in itself.
Yeah. There was a time when you came to Seattle, and this is what they're trying to hold on to. Of course they are. Mm-hmm. But you just kind of knew, like, this is going to be hard. Mm-hmm. When you came and played at CenturyLink with that crowd, when they were really, really rolling, you know, you kind of felt like they had 8 wins in the bag before the season started.
Yeah.
In my opinion, they're not that team anymore to that caliber. But you know, you feel like, oh, they're just going to completely fall off. But no, not really.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to win some close games. They're going to have to keep reestablish that home dominance that they've had over the past 5 or 6 years. And you've kind of seen it the last couple of weeks. So you go, it's kind of a wait and see for me. I was really curious to see how this year would play out for the Seahawks. Mm-hmm.
I think we all were.
Yeah, right? It was a lot of question marks. Yeah. And I think they're right in the thick of things. They're right where they want to be. I mean, sure, they'd love to be 8-0 or 7-0, rather. But
things could also be a lot worse.
It's the NFL. Everybody's trying to win. Yeah. You know, we say it all the time. Those guys get paid, too.
Yeah.
You know, there's other great coaches. There's other great quarterbacks. There's other great scouting departments. It's as competitive of a league as this or anything I've ever done. Mm-hmm. And they're right in it.
Now, guy, we actually talked about him over the weekend, but he's had, you know, 4 touchdown catches the last 3 games. Was on the practice squad last year. You know, David Moore. Mm-hmm. How has he been able to just make that transition into being, you know, being from not even getting on the field to being someone that's become a weapon for that?
Yeah,
that
David's a cool story. Talk about a small town guy. Comes from East Central College, university. I don't even know what it's called.
I think Pete Carroll said that too. He didn't even know. He couldn't remember the school.
Yeah,
he was from
East Central State. Yeah, I don't know. But came in last year. I think they drafted him in the seventh round, late round pick. Yeah. Super talented, big, strong, physical, can catch it when you throw it to him. But learning curve for him was probably really, really big, mm-hmm. You know, really, really steep from what he did in college to the NFL. So a lot of times those guys, they just take time, and it takes, you know, patience by the coaching staff and the management to stick with a guy like that. Because honestly, it could have taken even longer. Mm-hmm. You know, you just don't know. But you look at the talent and you go, dang, like, we need to keep this guy around and to see what he can do, and I'm happy for him. He works hard. He's a good dude, a good friend, and
you said he likes country music too.
Loves, huh? Country music, so we kind of bond over that. But he's making plays. He's making it look easy, yeah. And I think that's probably, at least for me. And I remember when I was playing, when you get out there and you have a little success and you play, you go, "Oh, I can do this." Mm-hmm. That's a big like trigger in your head, and some guys probably never get that feeling where you have a good game or you make a play against a star player, mm-hmm. you know, a name guy. And he's probably had some of those plays this year where those moments where he's like, "Oh, I can do this. Mm-hmm. I can hang." And once he gets that in his head, that's when he becomes dangerous. Mm-hmm. 'Cause now he's like, okay, I'm just as good as all these guys that went to Ohio State, Florida, that were drafted in the first round. It's like, I'm bigger and faster than those guys. So I think the you know, what's next for him could be really, really special if he takes that mindset and pushes forward.
I love it. Well, let's go big picture and just talk about just a little bit of the NFL in general. It came out earlier today. Obviously, we were watching yesterday with Fitzmagic and Jameis and that whole situation. Mm-hmm. They just announced that Fitzpatrick's going to start. What's kind of your take on that just as a quarterback, you know? The team seems a little bit like a mess, just so to say. But that back and forth just seems to, you know, it is a tough decision. Like, what do you do?
Yeah. If you could pick one thing to have stable, you'd want your quarterback situation to be
absolutely
stable, right?
Yeah.
If you pulled all the head coaches, I think that would be probably be number one. So it is challenging for those guys. But the problem is that Fitzpatrick is such fire and ice.
Yeah.
He's so good when he's good and then not so good when he's bad.
Right.
So that's, you know, that's really his challenge is, you know, I've got this really, really productive player in me, but then I've also got this other guy that turns it over 5 times, mm-hmm. and coaches cannot handle that.
Yeah.
Can't stand it.
Yeah.
And then you've got your franchise guy in Jameis who's had his issues and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, once you get to the season, you're just trying to win the next game.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that some of the big picture thought gets narrowed down to how do we beat whoever we're playing next week and who's playing well.
Do you think it'll be it's almost a situation by a game-by-game basis for them?
Not necessarily. I don't think you go into, you know it's
right.
like not it's not like a starting pitcher, if
right.
you will. But
right.
I do think in their current situation, they're saying, you know, I think we're going to roll with Fitz. You know, mm-hmm. it's just kind of a up in the air, and they may not be sold on Jameis as the future. I think that's safe to say. But and then now they're like, you know, we're going to win some ball games. Let's go with Fitzpatrick and see what happens.
Now we've seen we have that situation, and now we have two real, I mean, big success stories at quarterback this year. Jared Goff, who, you know, was not very good this first year, and then Patrick Mahomes, who sits a year and now is just lighting it up so far. What's kind of your just take on them?
Well, start with Jared. His year 1 to year 2 was huge. and they obviously had the coaching changes, the new offense. So that invites the system quarterback questions and all that. And I think he's putting those to rest this year personally. Mm-hmm. I've watched some of his tape. He's made some incredible throws. And to some degree, we're all system quarterbacks. That's our job.
Right.
Run the system well.
Yeah.
I've never really I know what people are trying to say by that term, kind of the game manager or mm-hmm. whatever tag you want to put on it. But your job is to run the system that your coaches want you to run and win games, right? That's your job as a quarterback, and that's what he's doing. So I think he's an elite player, and he's playing at an elite level. I think he'll continue to do that. I do think they run a good offense.
Yeah,
I'm not saying that.
Boy genius.
I'm not discrediting that. They've got some guys wide open. They've got mm-hmm. weapons, and they got Todd Gurley.
Mm-hmm.
So they got it rolling right now, and I think they're the team to beat in the NFC. I think that's pretty universal. Mm-hmm. I think everyone would say that. But as you know, what happened last year, they kind of laid an egg in the playoffs. As good as they are, it kind of adds pressure once they get to the playoffs
because the
expectations are so high, and they haven't done it yet. Mm-hmm. That organization hasn't done it.
Mm-hmm.
That crew. So who knows? Mm-hmm. Get them in a playoff game and anything can happen. So, but he's really good. Again, Jared, I think he's doing a great job, and then Patrick is tearing it up.
And is this sustainable? Like, what? It's amazing. And you don't want to take it away from him.
If it is, he's in the Hall of Fame before he stops playing. I mean,
right.
It's just. But when you watch him play, it's like it's not luck. He's got the physical talent. He's got the tools, and he's handling all the other stuff, the success and the media just blitz that he's under.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to say.
I will say I've covered quite a few games in Kansas City in the cold. It's tough.
Yeah,
I've
played
can,
one there. It's it's cold there.
It
sneaks up on you.
Very sneaky. like that was one of the coldest games I think I've ever been. So, but if that high powered offense can be sustained through that, they're going to be
He's in a good situation. He's got a really experienced head coach. He's got weapons. They believed in him, mm-hmm. you know. I think he had that year to sit out.
Yeah.
So he's kind of in that perfect situation. And, you know, you kind of remember Aaron Rodgers did the same thing for a couple years and did really well out of the gate. And, you know, do real well out of the gate and kind of build that confidence up. And who knows? He may not ever slow down.
And what do you I guess as we kind of end the NFL talk here, who are some of these, you know, maybe 3, 4, 5 teams that, like, you like going forward that'll be in the running toward, you know?
Yeah, making the playoffs or winning the Super Bowl?
I still think it's pretty early for Super Bowl. I think who's gonna have a good shot going in the playoffs, you know, and could potentially get to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I've had my head down a little bit playing, so I probably won't be able to answer this super with super good intel. But obviously the Seahawks. And I think Minnesota's, they're going to be fine.
Yeah.
They're making a push. You know, and there's so many of those teams that are kind of right there. Who's going to separate? Looking forward to seeing it.
It's going to be awesome. So before you get out of here, I would love, you know, 3 things to share with the young quarterbacks out there. What makes a good, solid quarterback? What's 3 things that those guys could go home and work on?
Well, I think you got to start with decision making. You have to be able to make decisions for your football team, regardless of what level. Football is all about the ball,
mm-hmm.
and you touch it every play. So everyone's counting on you to make good decisions with the football, whether that's run game, pass game, doesn't matter. Reading the defense, knowing when to throw it away, knowing when to tuck it and run it. There's a cerebral part to the quarterback position that exceeds probably every other position in sports. So you have to be a great decision maker. You have to be a great leader. Work on your leadership. Work on your ability to lead others, to encourage others, to bring others along. And at least for me, my way of doing that was work ethic. Because no one doesn't, like, they may not say it, they may not realize it, but they respect it. So when you have a really, really strong work ethic and you're able to come in day in, day out and get after it, guys respect that and they'll listen to you. And that's kind of the catalyst and the key to leadership. So decision-making, leadership, and I'm going to say resiliency, the ability to let things go. And this is something that I've really been working on lately. Just kind of that. And honestly, I probably learned it from Russ. Mm-hmm. Just his ability to stay with it, to stay focused regardless of what happens. The higher you get, the higher up college, the higher level into the NFL, the more criticism you're going to receive, the more everyone's going to have an opinion on what you should have done and mm-hmm. how and this and that. And that's all garbage. So your ability to, you know, be able to be critical of yourself, but also know, hey, I did this pretty well too, and kind of be your own encourager. And because it can kind of be lonely. You hear it all the time. It can be lonely at the top. And as a quarterback, that's your job.
And I love all those things because all of those things are you can control as yourself. It's not, I mean, obviously there is a degree of physicality to play in the quarterback position, but all of those things.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of are what you are. Mm-hmm. I had a good friend ask me one time what percentage I would put on the ability to throw a football was kind of God-given and what was kind of worked on. I was like, I kind of could always throw a little bit. Mm-hmm. So you kind of are what you are physically. And that's not to discredit working on your skill set. But the other things is what I would attribute my success to as a player.
That's what separates you.
I think that's what allowed me to reach the level I've reached is those other areas that you can control. Because why worry about the things you can't? Like I'm never going to be considered a strong arm quarterback ever. Like I could go run my arm in a machine from now until 2025, and I'm not going to be considered. I'm not going to have a Patrick Mahomes arm. Mm-hmm. It's not going to happen.
Right.
I can promise. But there are other areas to get to be really, really, really good at, and I think that's what I was able to do, and it allowed me to get here, 7 years in the league, and hopefully more,
many more.
Yes, sir.
Well, AD, thanks for coming by, man. You guys can follow Austin on the gram and on Twitter. I know he's pretty active on both. Make sure you check him out, Austin Davis. And anytime you're back in town, we'd love to have you on the show, talk some football, talk it all, play around the golf. It'd be great.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on, bud.
See you, man.